Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and has spent 40-plus years in the retail industry in sales, marketing, operations, and executive management. He was the president and CEO of Brick Warehouse Corporation in Canada for 13 years. And since 2009, he's been the CEO of Art Van Furniture. The author of 9 books, including Pumptitude and Maximum Pumptitude, his name, Kim Yost. And I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Kim Yost, who since 2009 has been the CEO of Art Van Furniture and has done a phenomenal job for them. Kim, welcome. A real honor to have you back.
Welcome, Jack. Pleasure to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Well, I was born in Red Deer, Alberta in 1954 in a very small town south of Edmonton, Alberta. And my biological father was a hockey player, went to Europe to do some practice and some coaching. And at 3 years old, he never came back. And so much like many entrepreneurs, I was adopted when I was 7 years old by my adopted father. And he was my father until he passed about 6 years ago, actually. Papa Tony is what we called him. And he was a business executive, loved entrepreneurialism, ran his own business for a number of years, and pretty much taught me a lot of things that I needed to learn in those early days as I went through my school, my high school, and my college years, and then ultimately became my sort of entrepreneur of today.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Mom?
That anything is possible. That when you put your mind to it, and you put your energy and your focus behind it, anything is possible. And I think the most profound thing that she continues to remind me today is attitude is altitude. And if you want to soar with the eagles, you've got to have an attitude equal to it. And here's what she also says to me, and this is her prayer, and I would have this for all your listeners. Wisdom is wasted on the elderly. And so what she prays each and every day, she's 87 years old, is that I will gain as much wisdom as I can, as early as I can, so I can do something with it. So it's all about wisdom.
Kim, how did you break into the retail industry?
Interesting. I started in a very early age working in a department store in Vancouver, British Columbia, in the back stockroom. It truly was a stockroom to boardroom story. 22 years with that business, a couple billion dollar company, 110 years old, Woodruff's Department Stores, Western Canada, BC and Alberta. And I started in the stockroom. And what I find so amazing about that career and building my building blocks of my career was my passion for sales. Jack, I'll tell you, I found my calling when I hit that sales floor as a young sales executive at 19, 20 years old. Then when I got into sales management and I could learn how to manufacture sales, I have been, I guess you could call it, a sales junkie since my late teens and my early 20s. I have an unusual passion of seeing things that don't exist, getting teams around goals and objectives, and then watching the sales climb. It truly is a passion.
Okay. You were fired very early in your retail career. Why and what did that teach you?
Interesting. You know, I spent 22 years in a very conservative, well-established department store called Woodward's, as I mentioned. And through the course of that career, I got released 3 times. I was there for 4 months. And they had an unusual habit of giving you working notice so that when they released you, they would give you a week or 2 weeks to work through your notice period so you could find a job. And they felt that that was kind of a soft landing. But here's the first reason why I was released for it. I was 17 years old. And I was working in the back stockroom on the fifth floor of this magnificent downtown store. Did about $120 million in annual sales. I've been around for years. And I got it in my mind that I should put coffee tables in front of sofas. Can you imagine this? It was like early 70s. Now, who would have ever imagined that you'd display a coffee table in front of a sofa? I also got it in my mind that we should move end tables and lamps and carpets and accessories. And so I got in really early one morning at 5 a.m., gathered a number of my friends from the stockroom, and started to build these elaborate displays all around the escalator well on the fifth floor. Took us hours to build them, but they looked just like it was in my mother's home. It looked just like I saw in my parents' friend's home. And so I thought, what an idea to bring furniture, coffee tables, area rugs, lamps, accessories, all together in one display so it could look like somebody's home. Well, that unfortunately was not the case in the early 70s. As I was reminded by my boss as he escorted me off the sales floor, was coffee tables are on the fourth floor, sofas are on the fifth floor, and lamps are on the seventh floor, and they don't ever get put together. Where in the heck did you get this idea? Ken Jones, one of my early mentors, came from North Carolina High Point that Thursday, and he saw these displays, and he told my boss that his name was Alec Radish, that this kid may have something, because he just came back from North Carolina High Point, and they're starting to put coffee tables in front of sofas and starting to display furniture as an accessory. And here's what happened. I was released on the Monday, and I was promoted on the Friday. I got $10 a week more, and they asked me to do the entire fifth floor the same way that I did the displays around the escalator. Jack, that didn't happen once within my 22 years in that company. It happened three times. They didn't know whether to fire me or to promote me, and in some weeks, they did both.
How many times did AV, Mr. Van, fire you in the last 9 years?
Oh, I'm sure. In the 9 years that we worked together, I recall when we came up and dreamed up some promotions and dreamed up some new concepts, and Gary, our president, we'd both look at each other, and the chairman would look at it and say, we're not doing that. I said, well, Mr. Van, we've never done it before. Why don't we try it? He said, come on, we're not doing that. I said, AV, come on, we're open for change. You know, quoting him on the 50th anniversary, the chairman said that the only thing that was going to remain the same on our building, or in our business, was on the building. That was his name, and we were open for change, going down different directions and doing different things. So I'm sure that there was a couple opportunities with our president, Gary Van, and myself, where he just looked at the both of us and scratched his head and said, what the heck are you guys up to now?
All right. You worked for The Brick, one of Canada's largest volume retailers of furniture, mattresses, etc., for 13 years, and you became the president in 2000. What made The Brick so successful?
Well, it was a system. Small stores, 35 to 45,000 square feet. We got up to over 240 locations from coast to coast in Canada. It truly was a simple, easy system, small format, highly promotional. Jack, we would promote 7 days a week. We had the highest level of gross rating points on any TV station across the nation. We were a powerhouse on television and radio broadcasting. So just a combination of a great selling and merchandising system with a lot of simplicity and the ability to replicate and expand, and then a powerful marketing message. We got up early in the morning, and we stayed late at night, and it was all about advertise.
We're talking to Kim Yost, and I'm Jack Russell, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible with Kim Yost, who's known as the Dalai Lama of retail furniture. All right, you joined Art Van Furniture in October of 2009. By your own admission, it took Art Van 15 years to hire you. How and why did you join him?
Well, I had gone to performance groups meetings twice a year with Mr. Van, our chairman, for a number of years, as you say, for 15 years. And I always made a point of sitting right beside him, right beside him. Number one, success leaves clues, and he was a giant in our industry, and I knew for a fact that I could learn so much from the chairman. So that was a big driving force of me transferring from The Brick in Canada down to Detroit here in Michigan to work with a giant of furniture, Mr. Art Van. And so the number one reason was there was lots to be learned, there was lots of challenges, and lots of opportunity. And then secondly, Gary, our president, David, our president, Pure Sleep, the family took me in. And with the two sons and the father, it was like I joined the family. And when you have an opportunity to work with the kind of chemistry that the four of us had at the senior level, great things can happen.
You joined at the height of America's economic tsunami. And you joined right before Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, the biggest sales day of the year. And you, one of the first things you did was called your key lieutenants in. Tell us about that meeting.
You know, when I got to Art Van in the fall of 2009, we were deep in the recession, and attitudes were probably as low as you could get them. People weren't prepared to invest in new ideas, new thoughts. Many of our sales had really gotten to the lowest point, and so they needed a little pumping up, so to speak. And so we were getting ready for the fall of 2009 for our Black Friday, which is truly the Super Bowl of retail. If you can compete at the highest level in terms of our industry, which is retail, it's going to be during Black Friday. This is where we spend months preparing our special deals, preparing our marketing plans, preparing our store execution plans, and it all comes together, much like Super Bowl. And so we had a sales target, much like we had the previous year in fall of 2008, and we were going to be happy if we just got the same volume that we did in 2008. Well, that wasn't going to happen with this sort of altitude determines, you know, everything. And so what we decided to do as a group, after I did a little irritation, because, you know, you learn more from the people who irritate you than the people who don't. So I was giving a lot of learning, so to speak, for that session. And we plotted to have a 50% increase in Black Friday. Now, nobody believed that it was potentially possible, but we added more advertising. We laid in a few more specials. We extended our store hours. We built this incredible circular, this flyer that would give us this 50% increase in Black Friday 2009. Now, for most people, that would be unheard of. Well, guess what? At 6 o'clock, the crowd started to come and intensified. By 7 o'clock, we could see that we were past last year. By 8, by 9, by 10, and then ultimately, we not only hit the target, but we surpassed it. And then what that did, Jack, above all things, is it solidified the belief that we were no longer participating in the recession. It was good for everybody else. You know, knock yourself out. Enjoy the recession. If you want to continue on, go down that path. But we as a company decided, from stockroom to boardroom, our chairman, our presidents, all throughout the organization, that the recession was officially over at Art Van, and it started with Black Friday 2009. And from there, Jack, we broke the all-time record for the promotion after Christmas. We hit another all-time record for the New Year's promotion. And from that point on, it was clear sailing. We had left the recession behind and started embarking on a new venture.
We're talking to Kim Yost, the CEO of Art Van Furniture. You talk about the chairman, A.V., Mr. Van. It's tough to replace a legend. Kim, you did that. You replaced a Wayne Gretzky. And you did it. How did you do it?
Well, it's hard to even imagine replacing the chairman when he made a decision to sell the business. That was a big decision for our boss at the time. And that was, he had been building it for six decades, close to 60 years, and it was a tough decision for him. But when he sat with myself and Gary Van, our president at the time, and our CFO, Mike Bolton, he said, gentlemen, let's market the business. I'm going to transition onto the next chapter of my life, and I just know that you guys are going to be able to take this business to the next level. Well, we ended up, as you know, history tells now that we sold it to T.H. Lee, a Boston private equity firm, which are great people out of Boston. We couldn't have put the business in better financial hands, a financial sponsor. But here's what I will tell you. It's the team. No one single executive can do and accomplish anything on their own. And here's a saying that we have around Art Van. When you go alone, you can only go so far. When you go together, you can go endlessly. And the transition from our chairman to myself as the president and CEO through the next few years was simply about the team. If we didn't have Gary Van, our president, if we didn't have David Van, our president, if we didn't have countless executives that had worked for the company for decades, it's all about the team. Team is everything in business today, and I would argue that it'll be the same in the years to come.
We lost Archie Art Van Elslander in February. What's the biggest things you learned from him, Kim?
Well, there are six, and I hate to put him a number to them because there's probably countless issues that you can remember about the chairman, but let me just give you what I call the top six learnings for his legacy to all of us. Number one, personal branding, outstanding as to how he looked, how he spoke, and how he acted. He was a brand all to his own. So personal branding, number one. Number two, the passion for sales. He would say when you get up in the morning and your feet hit the ground, you're starting to sell. And for anybody that had the talent to sell themselves, to sell their ideas, and to sell their products, amazing things would happen. Number three, probably one of the most powerful learnings that I got from when you have the opportunity to give back, you have a right to do so. Whether it's saving the Thanksgiving Day parade or giving back millions of dollars to Forgotten Harvest, to Focus Hope, and countless other charities across the state of Michigan, and particularly in Southeast Michigan. Number three, always have the love, and don't feel it's an obligation, but have the love and appreciation to give back to the communities that have given to you for so many years. Number four, which I always love, and this is get up early, hit the road running, and prepare yourself to win. Mr. Van had an outstanding winning attitude. If attitude is everything, it's all about winning. Very competitive, but it's all about winning. Not so much for losing, but great for winning. Number five, which I think is really a solid one, is family. You know, he's got 10 children and over 35 grandchildren, and it was about his family, about all the kids and the people that he's been able to influence over the years. So it's all about family, so we shouldn't forget number five. And then lastly for me, which I think is all about the team, is that he would always say this: businesses are made of bricks and mortar, but the heartbeat of the organization is its people. It's all about the team, and it's all about the people.
Art Van's eye and sense for style. One time, I went with him to Beverly Hills, California, and we walked into this five-star hotel, the Mirage. And I pride myself on dressing pretty well and seeing things. And we walked into the lobby, the two of us, and he described to me what he saw in the lobby. What I saw was black and white. What he saw was 85-inch HDTV, you know, 4D. It was unbelievable. Talk about his sense of style in his eye.
Well, you know, he also had another saying that, much like what you were saying, is you can take two people to Times Square, and Times Square being what it is, one person will say, oh, there's just a lot of lights and signs. And then somebody else will look at Times Square and say, oh, my Lord, this is the center of the universe. Look at the signs. Look at the branding. Look at the excitement. Look at the marketing. And the list goes on. Same Times Square. Two different people. He had an eye for style, he had a vision for trend, and he liked bold. And he always had this risk in terms of putting style and fashion together and putting it in our stores and developing programs. And he's had a history of, you know, doing this, and with great success, for a matter. But he just had that vision for color, design, and style. Unequal. Now, he will tell you that it started with in the clothing business. He, at his early ages, he learned how to sell suits and shirts and ties and how to put those combinations together. He has a love for texture and fabrics. So he had a tremendous eye for fashion and style. And it really has carried our organization even today with our marketing and our merchandising and the look of our new stores. If you had, you were out with your significant other, Pam, at the Canton grand opening, and AB had his fingerprints all over the design of that store. And so not only do we have style in our merchandise, but he just had love for design of buildings and the stores themselves. And so when you go up the escalator to the second floor and you see all the things that we did inside that store, a lot of that was Mr. Van's fingerprints all over that design.
We're talking to Kim Yost. When he joined Art Van in 2009, it was about $300 million in revenue, 30 stores all in Michigan. Today, 182 stores, 9 states, 3,800 employees, $1.3 billion in revenue. When we come back, we're going to ask him how he did it. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Kim Yost, the author of 9 books, including Pumptitude, Maximum Pumptitude, and The Life Chest. Okay, Kim, in 2014, you convince Mr. Van, we gotta go to Chicago. How did you convince him to do that? And how has it turned out?
Well, it wasn't that difficult, to be quite candid with you. He'll tell you, and he did share at a couple of our presentations, that him and his brother would go to the Chicago Furniture Store for years, including Gary, our president at the time. They would go to Chicago to the furniture stores and always had a dream of eventually opening a store in Chicago. Now, it took years for us to see that dream come to fruition, but he always had that dream to go to Chicago because it's the third largest market of everything in the United States. So beyond New York and Los Angeles, when you think of Chicago, think that it's the largest, third largest consumer market in almost everything, certainly as furniture and mattresses. Well, in 2014, we decided to go to Chicago and take on the third largest market. And it was really done in two parts. Number one was we had great market share in our base state, which is Michigan, which is so powerful. And we're so pleased with all the things that the guests have done for us over the years in terms of our Michigan, let's call it fortress and ground zero. And so by building a strong market share, a strong stability financially, it allowed us to venture out. And Chicago, with being 5 hours down the street by Line Hall, was a natural opportunity. So store one, with the store one coming, it was outstanding success for number one, then number two, and then number three, and then number four, and then number five. And then we got to number six. We thought, oh my Lord, we are here. We got six stores in Chicago. And our great store number seven, which is Downers Grove, 120,000 square feet. Jennifer Hudson came for the ribbon cutting and the VIP night. Can you imagine a furniture store with Jennifer Hudson, an Academy Award winning star, singing in our second floor in the showroom, which is just a small microcosm of the imagination that the chairman had for doing big and doing entertainment and creating sort of that unexpected reality in a furniture store. And then we went to number seven, eight, nine, and to your point, we now have 14 stores in Chicago. We are the number one market share holder in furniture and mattresses. No other single brand sells more furniture and mattresses in Chicago than we do at Art Van Furniture. And it's all to do with vision, determination, and quite candidly, Mr. Van writing the checks. Because here's something I want to share with you about these giants of industry. I want to share this with you because success leaves clues. They have the courage and the foresight and the vision to write the check. Because if you're not prepared to write the check, you're not going to do these moves into Chicago. And we just recently bought two new businesses, one out of Pittsburgh and one out of Baltimore. $350 million worth of revenue coming into our organization. If you don't have courage, if you don't have the lack of fear of failure and certainly vision, you don't make these bold moves. And so that's just another part of his legacy to all of us, is to remember this: success leaves clues. Have a vision, diminish the fear, and prepared to take the risk and write the check.
Speaking of writing the check, that night, you called it the art of style, the art of wow with Jennifer Hudson. There were about 300 of us, and Pam and I were blessed to be able to go. And Jennifer Hudson gave us a concert, 300 of us for an hour. The best song she sang was when you were behind her dancing to her.
Mm-hmm.
What was that night like?
Well, I believe that probably the most important part of that night was watching the fruition of 120,000 square foot Home Depot Expo turn into an Art Van Furniture store. Because that building had been sitting empty for 5 years, Jack. It was dark. It was dungy. It had all the things left over from Home Depot Expo in terms of bathrooms and kitchens. It was horrible, to be quite honest with you. And it had sat dormant for 5 years. It was watching the vision of the chairman, Gary, our president, David Van, and the rest of our leadership team. It was a combined effort of the vision of what we could turn that building into. And I think the highlight of that night was to watch the looks and faces of all our guests, industry fellows, consumers. Our guests from the Chicago market came in and said, wow. And so that was probably the highlight of that evening, watching something come from nothing, create a vision, seeing it come to fruition, and then watching the joy and the heart, not only on the leadership team and our employees and our whole team at large, but more importantly on our guests and all the stakeholders that walked through that door. It was an evening of wow.
I've been blessed to spend a lot of time with you over these last 9 years, and you've told me a lot of things. And I've written some down as being full of wisdom. So I'd like to share a few with you. Be a life learner, which you are.
Huge. You know, for many people, they get past school and they think, you know what, thank God there's no more grades, no more tests, and essentially no more learning. But that's not for us, the one percenters. We have a passion to continue to learn, continue to invest in ourselves and the people around us. And so for any of us that want to have the most out of life, continue to be a life learner. And that's everything from reading to studying to watching. And Jack, let's not forget this, mentorship and taking on mentors and being mentored is also a big part of growing and learning through this path of life learning.
Okay, another one was a Chinese proverb. You can't make rice by talking about it.
12th century, we were writing our fifth adventure novel, and we were looking for, from our Chinese wisdom coins, some proverbs that would date back to the 12th century, maybe even earlier than that. And you're right, there was one, you can't make rice by talking about it. And what this says is that if success for any of us, including your listeners, was about talking about it, was about dreaming about it, about thinking about it, about maybe in some cases reading about it, it would not happen. It's about making it happen. It's about getting off your sofa, so to speak, and putting thought into action. And that's what that proverb is all about. You can't make rice by talking about it. And how many people in this world today would be incredibly successful if just talking about things was the secret to success?
Twice in the show so far, you've used this phrase, success leaves clues.
Jack, I think that this is really where I can offer to your listeners a tremendous value for tonight's program. For many of us, we will have people that will come through our lives that we will come to know, that we'll work with or for. In my case, I've had giants throughout my career, including Mr. Van, Mr. Bill Comrie, and the list goes on. And what they teach us and the success that they teach us is for us to do something with that. Now, also remember that failure leaves clues as well. And there's a lot of learnings from failure, but let's just concentrate on success. And so all I will tell you is that when we see successful people and we work alongside them, those are clues. And we are blessed to take those clues and make something of them. Here's something I want to share with all your listeners. I have several magazines in my office. And this morning, for example, I take a look at two magazines, Elon Musk, SpaceX, Tesla, and SolarCity, and Jeff Bezos. And both of the magazines have front cover pictures of both of those amazing entrepreneurs. And every morning I walk by and I say, good morning, boys. How are we going to do today? What kind of impact are we going to have on the world? Elon, what are we going to do today? Jeff, got any great ideas? Now, why do I do that? Because quite candidly, I've met many billionaires, successful executives throughout my 40 years career. But I will tell you this, when you start thinking and acting like so many of these successful people, you feel limitless. You feel like you can just take on the world. And so every morning I've got my two magazines sitting right on my desk with SpaceX and Tesla and Amazon. And I say to myself, gentlemen, bring it on.
God has blessed you, Kim Yost, in many ways. So we go to the next famous Yost saying, if you go alone, you can only go so far. If you go together, you can go endlessly. And God brought you Donna.
Well, that's true. Donna, as we all know, our significant others, 1 + 1 = 10. And when you find in your life a significant other, in this case, we're talking about my wife, Donna Yost, when you can find somebody who's paired up to you with a similar kind of vision and I guess you could arguably drivenness for success and for excitement and adventure. We just finished going to India to finishing off our fifth adventure novel, The Curse of Nefertari, Life Chest Mummies. And Donna was the first inside the largest pyramid in Gaza, just outside of Cairo, down on her knees, right up inside that pyramid. And it was all I could do to follow her. That was the same case when she jumped on the camels in India and the elephants through all our different adventures. Listen, I'll tell you something about a significant other, in particular your wife and my wife, Donna. When you get paired up with the right individual, where you and her have an amazing vision together, it's like putting dynamite together with TNT, and that's what Donna's all about.
You run these ads every day. 65% off. No money down for 5 years. No interest for 10 years. Kim Yost, how do you do it?
Well, if I told you that, I'd have to kill you because it's one of the biggest secrets that we have in Art Van, and so I'm not going to do that. listen to me, when you have the kind of volume that we have, and we have the great opportunity where we leverage all our stakeholders, you can create tremendous value for your consumers. And so that's about as much as I can share with you. But I will tell you, there's lots of secret sauce in Art Van, and we try to keep it a secret.
All right. We'll try to get a few more secrets out of them in the last segment coming up. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Kim Yost, who since 2009 has been the CEO of Art Van Furniture. Kim, you have 10 3x5 cards in your sport coat pocket all the time. What are on them and how do you use them?
Well, years ago, I came across a habit that has been really a big part and a hallmark of my success, which is my 5 daily to-dos. I learned years ago that if you take each and every morning and write down no less than 5 things that you want to accomplish in that given day, and then you work diligently through the day to get them done, the compounding impact of doing things each and every day, no less than 5, and crossing them off is like unbelievable. And so I do that religiously. My associate, Mrs. Sandra Miko, gets my cards ready for me in the morning. We have lots of meetings and schedules, and so I put all that down, and then I write down my daily to-dos, I write down my goals, and I've got them right over the top of my shirt pocket in my heart, because it all ties into to your vision and your objectives.
All right, that's the 5 a day. You also have, you're famous for the 68-day challenge.
Well, we just finished our 2018 68-day challenge, and quite honestly, today we are giving checks to 3 of the winners. One of the associates lost somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 pounds of weight in 68 days. We've had a number of our associates quit smoking, develop new skills, develop new goals, and here's what the 68-day challenge is in a minute. You start off each and every year with 20% right at the beginning, which is approximately 68 days, and you turbocharge it. You put a plan together. There's 7 steps. Put your plan together, write it down, start to execute it, get a change team, and live and breathe it for 68 days. Here's what I'll tell you, Jack. We have changed the lives of thousands of employees and guests throughout our organization. We have Facebook fans, somewhere in the neighborhood of 30,000 Facebook fans take the 68-day challenge and have done so for the last 6 years. So, in short, it's a new year in a new you, and it's a plan. You remember this one, failing to plan is like planning to fail. And so the 68-day challenge is a 7 steps for a new year and a new you. And we have seen remarkable results for people who put the plan together and then execute it.
Listeners have to be saying, this man's unbelievable what he can accomplish. Well, one of the secrets is he's created what he calls an 8th day.
Oh, yes, you got to have a Schmonday. Now, here's something that I came across decades ago. And
what was that again?
A Schmonday. It's the day between Sunday and Monday. So I had, I guess you could say, an opportunity years ago to carve out 5 hours a week. Starts at 6 p.m. at 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 p.m., and then we work diligently right to approximately 10 p.m. each Sunday night. So we call it Schmonday, the day between Sunday and Monday. This 8th day, compounding week after week, month after month, gives you a tremendous amount of uninterrupted time to do anything. I started businesses. I've written many business plans and created many vision documents during that Schmonday. I've written, as you say, 9 books, 5 adventure novels, just most recently, all to do with Schmonday. And for the listeners, you don't have to have it on Sunday night. I encourage my Schmonday following to pick it. It could be a Tuesday night for an hour. It could be a Wednesday morning. It could be, but here's the goal. Number one, it's got to be consistent and it's got to be your time. Take that time each week. You got to get the compounding benefit. And then what you do is you take that time and you divorce yourself from the world and you start building your vision. You write your goals, your objectives. You can take any time to read, to study. It's your time to turbocharge your personal and professional life. And that's just a short of it. It's just, it's an amazing habit for me, and it's turbocharged my personal and professional life.
Speaking of turbocharging, 20 years ago, Roberto Benigni won the Oscar for the best actor in the movie Life is Beautiful. If you recall, the guy jumped up when he won, and he jumped across the seats. He was a wild man. unbelievable enthusiasm. You have that. Roberto Panini. How do I get that, Kim?
Well, that's a great question. I start every day at 4 a.m. in the morning, 4 to 4:30 in the a.m., and I take an hour and a half to do my running and my exercise. I will tell you my 23-hour day, which is that power hour, that special hour and a half every morning, is part of the secret. If you start your morning fired up with positive adrenaline and endorphins, for that matter. So I've been a big promoter. I've been exercising 7 days a week for over 40 years. Between 4 and 4:30 in the morning is when I hit the asphalt, and then I just go. That is clearly one. And there's so many others, but I will tell you this one thing. You've got to have a passion for the grind, because life is a grind, both personally and professionally. And if you don't have a passion for the grind, and here's another one that I think your listeners would enjoy. My CEO coach, Mike Lipkin, gave this to me a couple years ago. What you do in the dark shows up in the light. And that's not just from running at 4:30 in the morning in the dark. It's about everything we do that nobody knows about, whether you're a musician, whether you're an athlete, or whether you're an executive, or whether you're a business entrepreneur. How many hours have we all spent where nobody has a clue of what we're reading, studying, traveling, in and out of airports, in and out of planes, business meetings, you name it. What we do in the dark shows up in the light. And Jack, when you meet somebody who's on fire because they're shining in the light, you know darn well they have spent years in the dark.
As our time winds down this evening, what advice would you give to our young listeners?
Well, I recall sharing this with you some time ago, and I had an opportunity to try it on to one of my young entrepreneurs just recently. I do a fair bit of mentoring to some young people, and here's what I say. Go to Home Depot and get the largest piece of sandpaper that you can get and stick it in your pants. Yes, go to Home Depot, buy the largest piece of sandpaper you can get, and stick it between your rear end and your underwear. Because I'll tell you something, for all of us that are living life large, there a chair is not our friend, even though we sell lots of them. A sofa is not our friend. And here's a good one, Jack. Every morning, for you young entrepreneurs, don't let the mattress win. Mind over mattress. Jump out of that bed early and attack the day. Do not let the mattress win. So it's called mind over mattress. So there it is. Get sandpaper. Put it in your pants, and get out of bed. Make it happen.
We've had 680 of these shows, and that's the last question I've asked each time. That is the first. That's the first. Kim Yost, three of the greatest treasures that Canada has given to America recently are Wayne Gretzky, Celine Dion, and the Dalai Lama of retail, Kim Yost.
Thank you, Jack. It's been an honor. All right. God bless you.
God bless. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohon.
Believe in yourself.